Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's gospel takes off where last Sunday's gospel lesson ended. So Jesus immediately left the synagogue in Capernaum with his recently selected disciples, Peter and Andrew and the sons of Zebedee, James and John. They show up at Peter's house expecting lunch, but they are immediately told that Peter's mother-in-law is laying ill with a fever. Jesus came to Peter's mother-in-law, took her by the hand, lifted her up, and she started to serve them. Man, we sure wish we could have that kind of power, wouldn't it? But only Jesus has that power. So most people recovering from a fever or an illness need a little additional rest before they are ready to serve the lunch guests. But Jesus was able to effect complete recovery immediately. And after lunch, we could speculate that there was discussion about removing the unclean spirit from the man in the synagogue and the miraculous recovery of Peter's mother-in-law. There also likely were questions about Jesus' teaching and authority once the Sabbath was ended at sundown. A crowd came to Peter's house and gathered at the door. Jesus healed many who were sick with different kinds of diseases, and also he cast out many demons. The next morning, after some private prayer time, Jesus explained to Peter and to the others that it was time to move on to the next towns and also to preach there. He went through all of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. People were a little confused, especially the local rabbis. Where did this Jesus come from? Who did he train under? What were his credentials to preach and to teach? All they knew for sure is that he was working with his father, a carpenter. Normally, a student will ask to study under a rabbi. Jesus just walked up to common fishermen and said, "Follow me." And immediately they followed. The physicians in the area were also confused. A town the size of Capernaum had at least one doctor. The Jews had the idea that diseases were caused by sin. An example of this is found in John 9, where Jesus heals a man born blind. And his disciples asked, "Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents." Jesus healed, you see, so that the works of God might be displayed. Newborn babies are administered a drop of silver nitrate in their eyes to kill potentially blinding microorganisms picked up in the birth canal. Chronic alcohol abuse causes a multitude of serious medical problems. Chronic food abuse is responsible for countless disease states, and the list also continues and it continues. Disease, even in its mildest and less debilitating forms, is unpleasant. Diseases of all kinds can significantly change our lives, remind us of our mortality, and actually affect our longevity. Many can kill us painfully and quickly. In spite of debilitating and fatal diseases, humanity has a bigger problem. We know what that problem is. It's sin. Medical science can possibly cure some diseases and extend our lifespans, but we, on our own, cannot atone for our sins. Jesus tells us clearly, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And I know it sounds foolish to those who are lost when they hear that Jesus died to save them. But we who are saved recognize this message as the very power of God. For God says, I will destroy all human plans of salvation, no matter how wise they seem to be, and ignore the best ideas of men, even the most brilliant of them. So what about these wise men, these scholars, these brilliant debaters of this world's great affairs? God has made them all look foolish and has shown their wisdom to be useless and nonsense. For God, in his wisdom, saw to it that the world would never, never find God through human brilliance. And then he stepped in and saved all those who believed his message, which the world calls foolish and silly. It seems foolish to the Jews because they want a sign from heaven as proof that what is preached is true. It sounds foolish to the Gentiles because they believe only what agrees with their philosophy, and it seems wise to them. So when we preach about Christ dying to save them, the Jews are offended, and the Gentiles say it is all nonsense. But God has opened the eyes of those called to salvation, both Jew and Gentiles, to see that Christ is the mighty power of God to save them. Christ himself is the center of God's wise plan for their salvation. The so-called foolish plan of God is far wiser than the wisest plan of the wisest man. And God, in his weakness, Christ dying on the cross, is far stronger than any man. I often make or think about an analogy to a bus trip. There is the Jesus bus that goes to the Father and eternal life with him. There's the Satan bus that goes to spiritual death and hell. By God's grace, we are put on the Jesus bus when we are baptized. The bus makes many stops. We get off to see the sights. Many do good works. Many sin, repent, and forgiven. But we keep riding on the Jesus bus because we trust him as our only way to the Father and eternal life. And as we continue on in his word and sacrament, we grow in our faith. We are moved by the Holy Spirit to obedience, to service, and good works, not so that he will love us, but because he loves us. The Satan bus, it's on a one-way trip to eternal spiritual death and hell. Yes, there are people on the Satan bus who do good things and are good people. Sadly, the bus is on the wrong road. They can switch buses and ride with Jesus if they stop to listen to the Holy Spirit and confess that they are powerless without Jesus. Faith in the living Word, Jesus, comes from hearing the Word of God, the Bible, preached through the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in our hearts. This faith is nurtured by word and sacrament belonging to a body of believers. You know, there are only two buses. One's the Jesus bus, and the other is the Satan bus. Please stay on the right bus. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.